Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, a couple of months ago, I was scrolling online and I ran across this, this reel or something of this guy, and he was prophesying about the end times, right? And he was going on, and he was saying that Jesus is coming again this year during Rosh Hashanah, right? That's a Jewish festival. And he was saying Jesus is coming, and he gave us this whole litany of reasons why he truly believed that was the deal. And I was like, well, you know, in Matthew, Jesus says nobody knows, only the Father. So I just kind of gave it a chuckle and scrolled on down the road, looked for some dog videos, right? But then I was thinking, you know, hold up. Wait a minute. Rosh Hashanah ended at the end of September, right? And Jesus said in the Bible that when he does come again, that there's going to be this loud trumpet blast, and then all of the believers that are still here are going to be caught up in the clouds in heaven, right? So I'm thinking, I didn't hear no trumpet, and we're all still here. So next. And I was telling, you know, I was telling Pastor Bob about it, and he starts laughing. He's like, you know what, babe, look, we've been living in the end times since Jesus rose up out of the grave, number one. He goes, and also, we're living in our own end time either way. And I thought, you know what, you're right. We all have an expiration date. And don't none of us know when that's going to be. Only the Lord. And it got me thinking, do we even think about that? Do we even give much thought to that? That we have an expiration date. The milk's going to expire one day. We have an expiration date. And if we're not thinking about it, we might need to start thinking about it. You see, heaven is real and hell is real. That's a fact. And we will spend eternity in one or the other. What's it going to be? The fact is, we all have an expiration date. And you know, Moses understood this very well. Most of the Psalms are written by King David, but not this one. In Psalm 90:12, Moses said, "Teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Yeah. You know, he was reflecting on his life towards the end of his life, and Moses understood. He said, I'm gonna share this with others so we would know what he had learned. And he was saying that we really need to understand that life really is short. And when you realize that, that leads to wisdom so that you start living a life on purpose. A life of intentionality. And don't feel bad if you're not really living with intentionality yet. Because you know what? When I was a young woman, I used to live whatever I wanted to do. Want to feel happy, want to feel good, have a good time. Wasn't worried about it. Be living on purpose until I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, I thought, oh, wait a minute. I am created for a purpose. I need to get it right. You stop playing games and get it in right. And that's when I started living with eternity in mind, numbering my days, y'all. So guess what? Today, I want to share with you four ways to number your day. The days that you have left on this planet. Because we are living in end times, y'all. And we need to focus on living a life with eternity in mind, living with intentionality. And the four ways are: we speak boldly, we live purely, love deeply, and endure faithfully. Speak boldly. We're going to start there. The Apostle Paul planted churches all throughout Turkey, Greece, and basically the whole Mediterranean area. As a matter of fact, 3/4 of the New Testament are these letters that Paul wrote to these new church plants. And he wrote them to encourage them, to guide them, and sometimes to correct them because they needed some correction, right? New baby Christians. And the reason that Paul wrote them instead of visiting them is because Paul was always in trouble. He was either running for his life or he was in jail. But he was always in some kind of situation. And you know what? It's because the message of Jesus Christ is hostile to this world. Or the world is hostile to the message of Jesus. It always has been. And when you think about it, it's a little ironic, right? Because what's the message of Jesus? It's one of love. Love God, love others. That's wild. But you know what? Every time Paul went out and preached, there were converts. Many people converted and started following Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus and became Christians, as we call them. But you know what? There were a lot of haters too. And that's the reason why Paul was consistently getting into problems everywhere he went. So I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians, New Testament, kind of towards the middle of the New Testament. You know, when you're, it's really a good idea to remember the order of the New Testament and the Old Testament for that matter. The New Testament has what we call epistles, letters. So if it's something like Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, those are cities, or those are the letters that were written to the people in those cities. So Thessalonians is written to the people in Thessalonica. And Paul wrote this letter to the church at Thessalonica. And I want you to pay attention to what he says straight out of shoot. 1 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 1. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. Now, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church, and he's telling them, look, it's going to be okay. He knew they were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And Paul is saying, hey, remember, I know what you're going through, because remember how we got here? Remember how it was when we got here right before we came to y'all? Remember what we went through? See, Paul and Silas had just been busted out of prison in Philippi right before they got to Thessalonica. So they came in hot. Paul and Silas came in at Thessalonica hot. Yet, the Apostle Paul was still able to share the gospel of Jesus. And he shared it in such a powerful way that there were so many converts. Many people gave their life to Jesus and a new church was born. And Paul's just reminding them, hey, I was able to do that only with the help of God. We got to remember that. Everywhere Paul traveled, he knew he was going to meet resistance and people were going to choose violence. He knew it. He was waiting for it. He knew the message of Jesus was controversial. It still is, y'all. Yet Paul dared to boldly speak the gospel without even a second thought. Just remember, if you're taking notes, write this one down. Boldness doesn't mean you're never afraid. It means your conviction is bigger than your fear. Mm-hmm. See, Paul was sold out to the mission of Jesus Christ. He was sold out. And you know what the mission is? To spread the gospel and make disciples of everybody we come in contact with. And Paul had already seen and experienced enough evil in his life that he knew this world needs the message of Jesus. And Paul also knew that he could not boldly, despite what was going on around him, and effectively share the message of Jesus in his own strength. It was God's help that empowered him. In fact, think about this. God has been helping people share his message all along. If you go to the Old Testament, God sent Moses to deliver the Hebrews out from underneath slavery under Pharaoh, right? We just had movie night and we showed the movie, The Prince of Egypt, tells the whole story. And Moses didn't think he could do it. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses tells God straight up, I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't speak to Pharaoh on your behalf. And what did God say? He said, Moses, who gave you your mouth? Hello, I did. So I'm going to help you, and I'm going to tell you what to say. Now, if you keep reading in Exodus, you see a few verses later where Moses kept on clapping back at God. That's some nerve, y'all. You want to be bold? Clap back at God after he had told you something 15 times. He kept saying, Lord, I can't do it. What if Pharaoh doesn't listen to me? I'm scared. And God was like, you know what? Fine. I'll send your brother Aaron. And he's going to speak for you. But y'all, God was not pleased with Moses. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God got angry with Moses. And you know why he got angry? Because Moses trusted his fear more than he trusted God. Mm-hmm. In fact, Moses had a history of trying to control things because of his fear. He ran off because he was afraid. So he was manipulating. Y'all, manipulation is witchcraft. That's all I'm going to say about that. So even after everything that Moses had already witnessed God do, and not to mention hearing the voice of God speaking to him, and then that whole burning bush situation, right. After all of that, Moses still didn't trust God.
Come on now.
So God got angry with him. We got to be careful with fear, y'all.
Come on.
If God's been good to you, you need to share that with someone else.
Yeah.
Speak boldly about the goodness of God in your life. Nobody can refute your testimony. You know what went down. You know how God got you through that. Nobody can dispute that.
Come on.
Speak boldly.
Yes. Come on.
I know there are people in this room right now, and you are living in God's blessings.
Yeah.
You've seen miracles, healings, provision, even families you prayed for. Are you sharing that with others? Not just church people. You sharing that with others out there? Think about it. You know, you used to be on fire for Jesus. Remember when you first gave your life to Christ, all the believers here, you first gave your life to Christ, you were on fire for God. You were so excited. You heard the message of Jesus. You gave your life over and you're like, let's go. You had a sense of urgency. But somewhere along the way, you got so inwardly focused on living your own life that you're not sharing the gospel with others anymore. Y'all know this world is wild, right? This world is wild. Turn on the news for 2 seconds and you don't even have to turn on the news. Just walk out the door. This world is wild. You see it all around you. People are hurting. They're lost. They're looking for something. And you have the answer. So you need to share it. Look, even if you're afraid of what others are going to think about you, do it anyway. The clock is ticking. Don't worry about what to say. God will give you the words. All you have to do is open your mouth and start speaking. And don't make it weird. You ain't got to make it weird. Okay? You don't got to get out there with a megaphone talking about turn or burn, get left, get right. No. You ain't got to do all that. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just share the message of Jesus. And you know what? You can do it simple like this. You're in the grocery line at HEB and you're checking out. You know how everybody has them little name tags, right? They wear the little name tags. Look up at the cashier and say, hey, Ashley, how are you today? This is a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. And then take a step back and let the Lord take it from there. And even if she don't say nothing back to you, that's all right. At least you planted a seed. You planted a seed about the goodness and the power of God just with that one scripture. This is the day the Lord has made.
That's right.
That's a scripture. You planted the seed of Jesus Christ just in that one little comment. You told Ashley that God made this day, and so it's good. You see how that works? Simple. Okay, well, hold up, though. You ain't got to walk her through the sinner's prayer now, okay? Don't put that on yourself. You don't got to do all that. You just plant a seed. Just plant a seed. You know what? The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is what he says. Paul said, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. God is the one drawing people into him. We just do our part. And it starts with speaking boldly, truly believing that God's going to tell you what to say. And the next thing we do to live in these end times we're in is we live purely. Live to honor God, not to please people.
That's right.
Let me just say this. The biggest danger to your faith is to live for the approval of people.
That's right.
I'm saying it again. The biggest danger to your faith is to live for the approval of people. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was telling me how her neighbors, these neighbors she has, were looking for a church. And, you know, she invited them to come be a part of Pursuit Church. And they had been here before. They think they visited us for a rise or something. And so they know we're not weird. They've been here before. They know. But they didn't want to come. Right? And as we were talking about it, we both kind of thought, you know, it's not anything against our church. They just want to go somewhere where they could get lost in the crowd and blend. A lot of people nowadays, that's what they want. They want to go to somewhere where no one really knows them. There's no real accountability. And you know, just kind of blend in and do their thing. They come in, they feel welcome, it smells good, it's pretty, feel and hear this real good, feel good message, and then just leave same way they came in. I get that. I get that. Everyone wants to be comfortable. But it's when you are uncomfortable that real growth happens. Some of y'all need to get uncomfortable. Some of us need to get uncomfortable. You know, when God called Pastor Bob and I to plant this church, he showed us exactly what kind of church he wanted us to plant. And we both know why he did that. Because we got our own ideas. Pastor Bob and I have been part of two other relatively new church plants. So we kind of know how it goes when it comes to planting churches. And it would have been real easy, y'all, to plant this one the same way we did with the others. So God spoke to both of our spirits. Don't you tell me he's not a personal God. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to do. He knows. He's like, I see you. And so he spoke to our spirits and he said that this church is to be different. Now, that's not a dig against those other churches. I love those other churches. I still have friends. I'm still friends with the pastors. It's not a dig against those churches. It's just that God had a very specific plan for Pursuit Church. And to be honest, maybe if we would have modeled Pursuit after some of those other churches, we might grow faster. But that's not what God told us to do. And just like with anything else, slow growth is not easy. You know, I don't know how I got this, but I got a pumpkin patch in my front yard. I don't know how I got there. But there's a pumpkin patch growing in my front yard. I wish I had a picture on the screen to show y'all. And I told my grandson Shiloh about it, and he is so psyched up about that pumpkin patch. He asked me every time I see him, let me see a picture of the pumpkins. I'm like, baby, they're barely coming out, okay? We might not get no pumpkins till January, okay? Just hold on. But it's like that. You plant a seed and you water it and you do your best to take care of it. And if it doesn't take off right away, it can be disheartening. It can get a little disheartening. And you know, after Pastor Bob and I planted the church, you know, trying to get it up and going, even people that are really close to us gave us a lot of pushback about how they thought the church should be run. And when we didn't do things the way they wanted us to do it, some of them actually left. But here's the deal. I bless them in Jesus' name. Because you know what? We're not worried about what the approval of man is. We're not worried about the approval of man. We want to please God. And we know what God told us to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to implement some good ideas. We go to conference every year. We get a lot of good ideas. We bring them back to y'all. That doesn't mean we're not open to feedback. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to water down the word of God to make you feel good. That's not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you right now. Enough of the word of God makes you feel good when you believe it. The message of Jesus is love. Real love. Not that fake mess you get out in the world. We're not going to water down God's word to attract more people, y'all. It's not going to happen. Not up in here. We're going to stay true to God's word. And we're not going to turn this church into a circus. This is a holy place filled with holy people seeking a holy God. This ain't the club with no bopping music and big loud lights. Maybe if we did that, we might grow faster. We might attract more people. But that's not what God told us to do. So it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. Y'all okay with that? God has called all believers to live purely following the gospel of Jesus. And the gospel says to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love others. That's all. That's it. And sometimes to do that, you're going to have to give up trying to please people. When God speaks to your spirit and gives you an assignment, be bold and obey. I give you an example of how it lives out. Say, you know, you have a coworker and they've been going through something. They stay going through something. And, you know, you talk to them and they stay going. They just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. Did God ever put it on your heart to pray with them? I bet he did. I bet he did. Do it. Don't worry what they might think about you. What if you're the only person who's going to pray with them? Who knows how to pray with them? What if you're the only person that's going to tell them about Jesus? Does what they think of you mean more to you than actually pointing them to the answer they really need? You don't got to preach a sermon. You got to make it weird. Just ask them if you can pray with them. And then do it right then and there. Don't even get a chance to say no. Just do it right then and there. You know what? Let me tell you something. Before I came up here, I don't know what I did in my bag. Oh, movie night. I don't know what. We must have been wild in here on Friday night. But I messed my bag up something bad on Friday night. It's been hurting me all weekend. So during the prayer moment, I went straight to the back and said, Julie, please pray for me. My back hurts. I don't know how I'm going to get up on the stage. Just pray right then and there. The Bible says pray all the time. Don't stop. You may be the only person who could ever pray with them and point them to Jesus. Don't worry about what to say. God will help you. He's faithful. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Amen. He'll help you. Amen. Let's all get past how we may come across to others and start focusing on how we come across to God. The quickest way to forget about what God thinks is to obsess over what people think. And you know what? They can't save your soul, and they ain't paying your bills. God is. To live in the end times, we speak boldly, we live purely, and we love deeply. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He said, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Yes. Loving deeply means you invest in people. Yes. And Paul uses the analogy of a mother caring for her child. Yes. Now, this is special. Every mom in here knows that you're committed. You're committed to that baby. You're sacrificial. Being a mom is sacrificial. Yes. It's a commitment. Yes. And you don't stop when it gets hard. When them teenagers start foaming at the mouth at you, you don't stop. You push through that. So I'm going to get you in line. And you know what? Loving deeply, that's what we do here at Pursuit Church. We love you deeply. And that's the opposite of what culture does, y'all. Culture says, oh, figure it out. You're on your own. And the church says, here's the truth. Let's walk this out together. Now, I'm going to be clear about this. We're not going to walk out your faith for you. But what we do is we help you get back on track when you fall. Yeah, we're all going to fall. This is what it means to love deeply. You don't solve people's problems. You lead them to the truth and encourage them to work it out with Jesus. You know, there's an old Chinese proverb and it says, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach a man how to fish, then you feed him for a lifetime. As your pastors, we're feeding you with the bread of life and the living water of Jesus Christ. And then we encourage you to accept him as your Savior and follow his ways. We know that this is what it is to feed you for a lifetime. And we do it every Sunday morning. When we gather here, this is what Pastor Bob and I are doing. But you know what? There are a lot more days of the week and a lot more of y'all than there are us. We can't individually disciple everyone. And you know what? That's not even biblical. That's not biblical, y'all. Jesus set up his church so that every believer has a role to fill. And Pastor Bob and I want to make sure that everyone here is cared for. So we focus on discipling and raising up leaders so that they can help us disciple you. We're making room for them to be able to walk in their gifts and callings. It's called growing the kingdom. And that's how it's supposed to be in the church. All of us loving each other deeply, just as Jesus commands us in John chapter 13. This is what he said. Love one another and love others as I have loved you. And then Jesus goes on to say, when you do this, then people will know that you're the real deal. You really are my followers. It's not what we say. It's not how well we speak. It's not how much we give. It's about loving deeply. And loving deeply means being willing to invest in someone else's life, giving of yourself. A lot of people can write checks. It's not just about that. You know, many years ago, this was a long time ago, Pastor Bob and I got home from church, and we had served it, I don't know, 2-3 services. I don't know. It's all a blur. And we got home. We're chilling. I think we were watching a football game, actually. And we got a phone call, and it was from this young wife. She was frantic. Her and her husband, we went to church with them, and we had ministered to them before. And they had gotten to this big fight, right? And he had run off, and he was threatening to kill himself. And she was hysterical. So Pastor Bob and I got in the car, and we took off, and we went to the house. We spoke with her for a little bit, and then we got in the car and drove around the area looking for him. And we finally found him. We were able to get him back home, prayed over him, his family, the house, got him delivered from some stuff through Jesus, got him back to a safe place in his heart and mind. And that wasn't the only time we've done that. And I'm sure it's not going to be the last. You see, as believers, it's our job to love deeply, to give of ourselves to others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We share the gospel of Jesus, but we share our lives as well. And it's not just about sharing good vibes, posting a few scriptures online. We are all called, if you call yourself a Christian, we are called to get into homes, to get up in people's business. Some of y'all got uncomfortable. That's all right. That's okay. You don't have to do a midnight run like we did, but you can participate in a small group. And don't just sign up, show up. Be consistent no matter what you have to sacrifice to get there. Because you know what? There are going to be people in your group that need you to show up. They might need your faith because maybe theirs is a little weak right now. They need your encouragement. They need to know that they're not alone in their struggle. You know, James 5:16 says that we are to confess our stuff to each other, pray for each other, and then we'll be healed. Amen. It's after we confess and pray together, then we'll be healed. He's saying if you want to be healed, delivered, and set free, then you got to put yourself out there. That's right. Show up, be transparent, and let others pray for you. And then be one of the others praying for someone else. This is what it looks like to love deeply, y'all. Yeah. So you're not worried about what people think of you? You're just trying to handle some business with Jesus. That's it. We got to get past caring about what people think of us more than we care about what God thinks of us. That's why I stay up here telling y'all my struggles. And don't think the devil hasn't told me more than once. Don't say that. You can't say that. They're going to leave the church. They'll say, you're not a real pastor. I'm going to leave. I'm out of here. A real pastor wouldn't struggle with that. But look, here's the deal. Yeah, they will. We do. We struggle. We struggle. Lord, put a watch over my mouth when I'm on 281. We struggle. But here's the deal. I love y'all too much to stand up here and pretend like life is so easy. Oh, it's just cupcakes and rainbows. No, it's not. The Bible says you will have struggles in this life right now. So I'm not going to pretend. I'm not about that. And not only that, some of y'all may be dealing with the very thing that God just walked me through. I'm not about to not let God get glory for what he did. Loving deeply means you're not worried about what people think about you. You understand we're living in the end times and the clock is ticking. People are dying. They need a savior. So we need to speak boldly, live purely, love deeply, and endure faithfully. We got to endure faithfully. Now, when you look at the definition of that word endure, it has two very related meanings. First of all, it means to suffer patiently. And it also says to remain in existence. In other words, you stick it out. You last. Living for Jesus requires faithful endurance. You don't give up when it's hard and you don't just quit. We have to reconcile the fact that the world is hostile to Jesus. It is not always going to be easy. Being a Christian is not easy. It never has been. But that doesn't mean we're victims either. We are not victims. If you're a follower of Jesus, Romans chapter 8 says you are more than a conqueror. And I see way too many Christians out there living like you're a victim, complaining about the very blessing God gave you. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. And I think it's because we start believing the lie of the enemy that says, oh, it's just so hard. God's not with you. We forget that blessings have to be cared for. Amen. I got a lawn that got to be mowed, okay? That's right. I've even seen Christians who prayed for a baby, yet all they do is complain how hard it is to be a parent. That's what the world does. We're not supposed to live like the world. Come on, right? Come on. You know, they're always complaining when things are getting hard, like a victim, like we're some kind of victim of our circumstances. Yeah, it's hard to be a parent. Every parent in here knows that, whether you got a newborn or you got a 20, 40-something-year-old. It's hard to be a parent. So you know what you do? Instead of getting on social media scrolling for validation of how you feel so jacked up and so a victim, get in the church. Get in your church community. Get together with other young parents and talk through this. See how they're getting past it. God gave us the church as a safe place to create relationships. We can pray for and with each other. We share our struggles and we get encouragement. We don't complain about the blessings God's given us. We endure faithfully and let God build our faith through the struggles.
Yes.
We're not victims of this world. We are more than conquerors. And I want you to think about that. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It means you've been through some battles.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You didn't quit.
That's right.
You didn't give up.
Yeah.
You kept duking it out. Till you were done, one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's what it is to be more than a conqueror.
Yeah,
y'all, character isn't built running from stuff. Pastor Bob said, character is not built running from stuff.
Yeah.
Part of enduring faithfully means putting up with some stuff and facing some stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And just so you know, dealing with things is better when the load is shared. This is why loving deeply, enduring faithfully, involves building relationships. And I'm just going to say something with all due respect and all the love in my heart. Please do not use the excuse of being an introvert. Let me tell you what the definition of an introvert is. I want y'all to think about this. This is the definition of the introvert. It's defined as someone who is primarily only focused on their own thoughts and feelings. I don't think anybody here really believes that God created us to just focus on ourselves. Now, look, I understand that interacting with others sometimes requires a lot of effort. I get that.
Yes.
After I've been up here preaching on Sundays,
yes,
I'm going home.
Yeah.
I might get blessed if Mr. Gomez takes us to lunch. I'm going. I love hanging out with Mr. Gomez. But otherwise, I'm going home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interacting with others requires a lot of effort. And sometimes you just want to put in that effort. You don't want to. I get it. But Jesus is calling us to move past how we feel and put some effort into creating relationships to build his kingdom. People need your encouragement and you need theirs. You know, recently Pastor Bob and I started working out and, you know, we had this trainer who was setting up the equipment for us and she was, you know, it's this e-gym stuff. It's very high tech, so whatever. Anyway, she had to go and program in the resistance where we're supposed to start on each machine, right? And as she was programming it in, she goes, okay, well, do this. And she says, oh, you're so strong. Y'all are so strong. And I'm like, who is she talking to? And she was like, y'all are so strong. I'm like, I need to add some more weight. And she just kept saying it on and on. And I was like, is she messing with me? What is she? I already paid for this. What's it? But you know what? It didn't matter because it was encouraging to me. I went in there feeling like I can't do this. I have way too much pain in my body. And I had back surgeries and foot surgeries and other surgeries. And I can't do this. And this lady was just going, oh, you're so strong. And I was so encouraged. Y'all, we need each other. We need encouragement and we need prayer. It's easier to endure in these end times faithfully together. And then you know what? God doesn't leave us alone. He gives us weapons to endure faithfully against this evil world we're living in. And they're found in Ephesians chapter 6. Open up your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Stephen, you can come. You'll think I'm finishing. This is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God's power, not yours. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Y'all, we got to remember, people are not the enemy. People are not the enemy. They're just who the devil's using in the moment. So to fight back, we put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you can stand. And then you stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. When culture says one thing, the belt of truth represents the importance of staying truthful to the word of God because it protects you from deception. Then it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes the protection of your heart that comes when we live purely, righteously, pleasing to God. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Paul is saying, let the gospel of Jesus be your shoes. Put them around. Walk on the peace of Jesus. That'll keep you steady and protected as you move around in this world where everything changes. One day we're doing this, next day they're doing that. And in addition to this, you take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith represents believing in God's promises. So when the devil shoots those fiery darts at you, darts of temptation, wrong thinking, doubt, you let your faith in God be your shield against all that mess. Then you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation reminds you that in Jesus, your future is secure. And then when the devil speaks lies to you, the Word of God is what you speak back to him. You don't just think it, you speak it. Some things need to be spoken. The Word of God needs to be spoken because you know what? It cuts through all the lies and it just shreds the curses that the devil speaks over your life. Living in the end times, we're dealing with demonic forces and we can't even see them, y'all. We don't even see them. So we have to use the right strategy and the right weapons. These are the weapons of God. And we need this if we're going to successfully navigate life in the end times that we're living in. Because you know what? Against these weapons, nothing can stand. Nothing. So speak up boldly. Declare the goodness of God and what Jesus has done for you. Lives are depending on your boldness, y'all. You may be the only person who's ever going to share the goodness of Jesus with somebody. Be bold. And live purely no matter what everybody else is doing. When culture presses in all around you, it encourages you to just compromise. Stand strong knowing that Jesus is right there beside you, giving you the power to withstand all that pressure. And then love others deeply. Let the love of God flow through you like a river. And be willing to invest that love in others. Don't hold back. You never know what one word of kindness can do for someone who's hurting. The world we live in needs Jesus, y'all. Love him like he loves us. That way they'll know what he looks like. You need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And no matter how difficult these times are that we live in, stand firm on your faith. Use the weapons that God has given us so that you can endure faithfully all the way through until your expiration date, until God calls you home. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word. It is truly sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, I pray right now that you just highlight those areas where we need to trust you. We need to give our fear to you, Lord, and stand in faith, Father, so that we can endure no matter what's going on around us, Lord. We can endure these times we're living in. Father, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our resolves to live for you and to love others the way you love us. Lord, help us see through eyes like your eyes. Give us eyes to see people the way you do. Give us ears to hear so that when we hear someone needs an encouraging word, we speak up boldly, Lord, and share with them the goodness of who you are. Father, I pray for every person in this room, every heart in this room. If someone came in here today and there's something heavy on their heart, Lord, I pray that they have the boldness to release that to you. And Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, you know, maybe they're hearing your word and it's like, yeah, that's what I need. I need Jesus. I need the real answer. Lord, I pray that you just draw them into a relationship with you. Father, draw them in with bands and cords of love and mercy. Father, let them feel your presence right now. And God, I pray you give them the strength to push back against what the enemy may be trying to tell them and to just run boldly to your feet, Lord. I pray for salvations today, Lord. Father, I pray you give us boldness and cover us with your mercy and grace like you always do. We love you, Father. We thank you for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus. I just want us to stay in this holy moment just a little bit longer. If you've never given your life to Christ and you know God is calling you in, today's your day. Today's the day. You're not here by accident, happenstance. It's not an accident you're here. The Lord called you in and you came. So if you want to lay everything at the feet of Jesus and you want a new start, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer and mean it with your whole heart. It's not the prayer, it's the heart behind it. Just a simple prayer. And you know what? We're going to pray with you. Believers in the room, let's pray it together. Y'all just repeat after me. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, all you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.